Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Doctor and Me podcast show. Today, I'm super excited to have Dr. Janine Downey with me. Dr. Downey, welcome.
Hey, welcome, Naren. How are you? Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you, Dr. Downey. I know you have been practicing dermatology for quite a few years, and also you are seen as an expert because a lot of other doctors listen to you speak and you write for various magazines that are very popular with dermatologists. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what inspired you to get into dermatology?
What inspired me to get into dermatology would be the fact that as a kid, I suffered with really bad acne and really bad eczema, and people would judge me from my image and the way that I looked. And that is why I named my practice Image Dermatology, because I wanted to put my best foot forward and have a better skin image of myself. So my mother is a doctor, and my granddad was, God rest his soul, a dentist. And, you know, children live what they learn. I saw my mother, I saw my grandfather. I thought to myself, well, I want to do this too, and I want to be a skin doctor. So that was really the beginning. And then as I got into the field of dermatology, I realized the opportunity to make people look and feel better. And so one of my main things that I focus on in my practice on a daily basis is something called age management, where I am making people look younger than their stated age for their economic viability. That is making them look younger in the workplace, and for their social or romantic viability, making them more confident when they're out and about, trying to find a mate, trying to keep a mate, whatever it is. No one wants to be that old person anymore, and that's quite critical. So it started off as being interested in acne and eczema, and it wound up with a full-fledged interest in cosmetic dermatology, which I mostly specialize in now, in terms of helping to improve people's image, and hence image dermatology.
Right. That makes sense. Tony Robbins was giving a talk to a bunch of CEOs, and he said there are six needs that never change as far as humans are concerned, and the top one is significance. We all want to feel significant. We all want to feel important. And I think a lot of people get their significance from how they look, how others see them. So your decision to focus on helping people feel good about themselves, I think you're making a difference in the lives of lots of people.
Mm-hmm. I certainly hope so, that I'm making a lot of difference in the lives of other people. And people do want to feel significant, and what I do with their image to import and impact their self-image is very important.
Let's talk about a little bit of the history of your practice. So can you give us a walkthrough? When did you open your doors? You know, how did things change, and where are things at right now?
I opened my doors in January 18th, 2000, as a matter of fact. I had practiced in Westfield, New Jersey for about 2.5 years prior, and I opened my door with maybe 11 active patients. That included some family members, and then my Westfield patients started to come, and then people from the Montclair, New Jersey area that I practice in now started to come, and my practice grew so much in the first 3 years that I had to buy a building because I could no longer share office space with the gentleman I was sharing office space with. So I moved around the corner after purchasing and renovating an 1870 Victorian, and that is where I continue to practice today. So I opened my practice in 2000. I bought this building that I practice in now in 2003. They renovated it. It was supposed to take 3 to 4 months. You know how contractors are. It took 2 years. I finally got in December 2004, and I've been here ever since. And it's a lovely structure. It's an old building, so we do have to keep it up. And that is one of my many, many challenges. At this point in my career, I see about 70, 80% cosmetic patients and about 20% medical patients. I see male, female, young and old. I see more Caucasian patients, then probably second African-American patients, then Latino-American patients, and then Asian patients. I'm proud to say that I see everyone. This is a very diverse practice, and I can take care of mostly anybody's skincare needs. So I'm very happy about that.
Can you talk about what you do helping other dermatologists? Because I know a lot of people know who you are. So can you talk about, you know, how long have you been teaching other dermatologists? In what type of forums or events?
In terms of me teaching as a dermatologist, I started teaching back when I was a resident and chief resident. So that would be 1994 forward, especially during the year of 96, 97 when I was chief. So now I've been a practicing dermatologist as of, you know, 2017 for 20 years, which is crazy to me. I started lecturing nationally and internationally probably around 2002. Then my daughter was born in 2003, and then I went back to lecturing frequently starting in probably the beginning of 2005. I've written 47 peer-reviewed papers that are published in scientific journals, and I do clinical trials, I do consulting projects, and I do a lot of education of patients and my peers, other physicians, on television. So in terms of how I feel about teaching, I feel it's a critical part of giving back so that patients understand where doctors are coming from and so that they understand what questions they should be asking, what questions they need to be asking, what's better for their health, you know, that type of thing. And I have patients every day coming into my practice still in this day and age that never wear sunscreen, that need to start wearing it. I have patients still that come into my practice that are concerned about their high blood pressure but haven't been to see anybody about it because they like me, but I'm not a scary doctor type of thing. So I'm educating people all the time, even when I'm not up on the podium, but I'm flattered for all the podium time that I do get.
Let's talk about... I know you've been on TV a lot. What are some of the shows you have been on where you talk to viewers all across the U.S. and the world about dermatology and various products that people use in dermatology?
Let's see. I've spoken at the American Academy of Dermatology, which is our biggest meeting of the year. This past year, it was in Orlando, and I gave a talk down there. I've talked at the ASDS meeting, which is coming up this year in Chicago. Last year it was in New Orleans, and I will be giving several lectures there. I talk at Cosmetic Bootcamp, fortunately, every year. That is probably the third largest meeting of the year and very significant and probably my very favorite meeting of the year is Cosmetic Bootcamp, and I lecture on a lot of different cosmetic topics. I will run a offshoot of that this early fall called Cosmetic Bootcamp University. We are still looking for residents to attend, so if anybody is listening to this and is interested, it is September 23rd, 2017, and registration is available online. I also lecture at Cosmetic Surgery Forum every year in Las Vegas, and then there's a multitude of other little snippet meetings that I lecture at, Skin of Color Seminar Series. I lecture at a local Hawaii meeting every year, you know, a little here, a little there, and it's a lot of fun, and I'm very flattered, and I quite frankly very much enjoy it.
Dr. Downey, were you on the Today Show?
I do a lot of TV. So in terms of TV, I do Today Show, I do Good Morning America, I do Dr. Oz, I do The View, I've done a lot of them at this point. I just did a segment on Here and Now, which is a ABC show. I've done all of the local news channels. I have done World News Tonight. I've done MSNBC. I've done CNN. I've done Fox. I've done a lot of it.
Right. Let's talk about some of the procedures that you're fond of. I know you do a lot of fillers and Botox. What are the different types of fillers do you recommend or do you believe in?
In terms of the fillers, I do, I do a lot of Voluma in my practice. That's Bicross Technology, and that is a Juvederm product, so that would mean that Allergan owns it. So I do a lot of Voluma in my practice. Voluma lasts 18 months. It's a hyaluronic acid. That means it's in your elbows, it's in your knees, it's in all your joints, and you cannot be allergic to it, which is a beautiful thing. However, there's a teeny percentage of the population that's allergic to any and everything. And so some of these people we have to watch, but in general, this is a very safe and very effective and very, very good product. So I use a lot of Juvederm Voluma. I use Vobella for the lip area. Voluma would be in the cheeks. Vobella is in the lips. I use some Velour for all over the face. And I use the Juvederm Ultra Plus, which is their Hyalacross technology. It's just the bonding of the hyaluronic acid is a bit different, so it doesn't last as long. In terms of other fillers, I do use some Restylane. Primarily, I use that under the eyes. But Vobella seems to be picking up steam in that area under the eyes right now. I do use a lot of Botox in my practice in the forehead to help people from stopping clenching their jaw for TMJ, for neck bands in the neck. I use it to drop a smile sometimes for people that have show of their gums when they smile big that don't want to have as much of a gummy smile. I do Botox some for migraines, but that is more cosmetic, so people that are doing that pay me out of pocket. And I love every little bit of it. So in terms of fillers, I really stick more to the Juvederm Voluma, the Juvederm Vobella, a little bit of Restylane. Occasionally, going back to fillers, I do some Radies, not as much. And then I do, for toxins, I do a lot of Botox. That is exclusively what I use. I have it in my own forehead. My patients love that I use it myself. They feel like if it's safe for me to use, then it will be safe for them to use, that type of thing. So that's what I would have to say about fillers and toxins. I think that they're appropriate for many people as we start to get older. A lot of my patients are concerned, how soon should I start, they ask me. And if you see a line that looks like a whisper on your forehead, that's a good time to start Botox. You don't want to start after the line is deeply etched in your forehead. So I explain to my patients, a whisper is a good time to start, and many of them agree with me. Additionally, for filler, we lose a teaspoon of volume from our face every day from the time that we're 30. So it's not until we get into our 40s and 50s that we think to ourselves, oh, what the heck is going on here? And we see that we're really, truly starting to age. And for filler, we'll wind up having quite a non-aging face. So when you look at Angelina Jolie, Halle Berry, Cindy Crawford, Jennifer Lopez, whoever you think is beautiful, what I recommend that you do is you think about the fact that their faces seem not to be aging, but that's impossible because time is not standing still. So they're just putting a little bit of volume in their face every now and again, nothing so that it's overdone, and that way they're actually almost stopping their aging. It's pretty neat.
Right. Can't we talk about Botox in particular? Like, what are the type of situations where you use it a lot? I mean, when it comes to cosmetic?
Okay, sure. Going back to Botox for a second. So Botox is what I pretty much exclusively use in terms of neurotoxins. I use it in between the brows on the glabella for people that want to look less stressed, less anxious, and less tired. I use it in both males and females. I use it in all races. I use it on forehead lines, on the top of the forehead, some of those worry lines, as my patients call them. I use them on crow's feet, which are the lines around the eyes. I use them for people who clench their jaws or grind their teeth to give them relief. I use them some for my patients that have migraines. And I use them in many other situations, neck cords, on the neck. I will use them when I am closing some type of a scar on the face. If I want them to be more relaxed and the skin not to be as tense, I'll Botox the area first so they're not able to move the muscle as well, because the more you move the muscle, the more you can rip the skin apart and the more you can damage the surgical area that you just tried to repair. Additionally, I'll use microaliquots of Botox all over the face with a little bit of hyaluronic acid in a procedure called microdroplet Botox, where you're really just trying to give the face a fresh, dewy look all over, and that is something that works very well also. You can do it on the face, the neck, and the backs of the hands. So those are some of the ways that I use Botox, and like I said, I use it in as young as people in their 20s to as old as people in their 90s. I have never used it in anybody over 100 yet, but I'm waiting for an 100-year-old to come in here and tell me they want Botox. I can't wait. I know that will happen one day.
Can you talk about Fraxel?
So Fraxel laser is one of the biggest lasers that I use in my practice. It's for non-ablative facial resurfacing. It's safe and effective to use in all skin types. It helps with texture of your skin. It helps with the tone in terms of evening it out. It helps if there's acne scarring. It helps for stretch marks off the face that would be. It helps for surgical scars. It helps for dark circles around the eyes. It helps for big pores on the nose. It is used for wrinkles around the mouth. It is just used in a multitude of places for photo aging, photo damaging, resurfacing, and reinvigorating the skin to make patients look and feel their very best. So Fraxel's a laser. You have to come in the office. You numb for about an hour, and then you do the procedure. I perform the Fraxel myself on my patients. And then you get up. Your face is red. You're slightly swollen. You go home. You do the wound care, and it's roughly you come back in a month, and it works all over again nicely in another month. My patients love the Fraxel a lot. They like that I do it on myself a couple of times a year. My patients love that I'm never without my Botox because I suffer from migraines, and I also suffer from vanity, and I want my face looking a certain way. So the fact that I have Voluma in my cheeks, Botox in my forehead, the fact that I Fraxel myself, those are all things that give my patients comfort. Oh, it's good enough for Dr. Janine to do it on herself. It's good enough for her to do it on me. That type of thing.
Right. Can we talk about fat melting? I know you do a lot with fat melting.
I do. So the American waistline is getting wider, and that's not a good thing. And so what I recommend to my patients is that we think about different ways of trying to decrease the American waistline. And so what I mean by that is my patients come in, I'm gaining weight, my skin needs to be more tight, so we do a lot of Excellus. We do the Futera Pro. So Excellus is, let me go back for a second. Excellus is a non-invasive fat melting tool that is used to really help to blast the fat cells and also to tighten the skin. Okay. Now, next, the Futera Pro are these electric muscle stimulation pads that we put on the patient after we do the first procedure. And what that does is that we put the electric muscle stimulation pads on, very much like we see what you see in physical therapy. Then we crank up the machine on, like, say, their stomach. And then the patients feel like they've done 1,500 sit-ups. Their tummies feel tired, and they are thrilled, but they are tired when they leave here. And my patients are extremely happy with the fact that we do Fraxel, that we do it a lot, and, that we do the Futera Fit with, let me just say that all again. My patients are thrilled that we do the Futera Fit with the Excellus because we're basically charging them for one machine, but doing two machines because what that winds up happening is they get a faster loss of inches and they start feeling better and looking better quicker, and so they get a better result. And so my patients are delighted that we couple one with the other. That's very important to them. Finally, we also have the Vanquish technology, which is another non-invasive fat melting technology where you lie under a machine, it looks like a big human toaster, and you actually heat the fat cells up, and it's fantastic. My patients love that as well. And we are able to really melt fat cells in that way with the Vanquish. Finally, we have Thermi Tight, and ThermiSmooth. These are other technologies that are used to improve the jawline, decrease cellulite in the stomach, help with a little bit of fat cells in the tummy, help on the upper back and the arms. And so Thermitite is one of those versatile machines that is a one treatment solution, as opposed to the Excellus, the FuteraFit, and the Vanquish, which are 8 treatment sessions. But you have to be a candidate for the Thermitite, so we look carefully at everyone. And then the last thing we have is the Cellutone, which helps temporarily improve the appearance of cellulite. So Cellutone is another really good machine that my patients like a lot and that I use a lot. I think that Kybella would be the final thing, and Kybella is liposuction in a needle. That's what it is. You inject it, it busts up the fat cells, it works great. My patients love Kybella because I do it underneath people's chins. I do it in their pre-axillary fat area. A lot of women will have a little bit of fat, like kind of at the top of their armpit, and want the fat cells melted from there. A lot of people want the fat cells melted from their chin area. That's on label. And then, quite frankly, I do it for people's inner thighs. I do it in a lot of different places. And my patients love Kybella. So Kybella is one of those drugs I did the FDA clinical test for. I did the clinical trials. I was delighted to do the clinical trials. I knew this was going to be a blockbuster drug. And it worked very well. And I have new patients coming in for Kybella every single day. The thing with Kybella is that you have to go to a board-certified dermatologist or plastic surgeon who knows what is going on and what should be the best thing to do, because unfortunately some people will inject it just anywhere, and that is not good, because then you can wind up with problems which you do not want and do not need. So that would be that.
Right. Thank you, Dr. Downey. Thank you for taking the time today to talk to me. I really appreciate your time.